Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 1, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 22, given in Bombay, India.
The first verse. Explain the relationship of the two eyes with the third eye. In which ways do the techniques concerned with looking affect the third eye? Two points. First to be understood. One, third eye is really the same energy which moves in these two ordinary eyes, moves in a new center, the same energy. Third eye is already there, but non-functioning. And it cannot see unless these ordinary eyes become unseen. The same energy has to move in it. When the same energy is not moving in these two eyes, it can move in the third. And when it moves in the third, these two eyes will become unseen. They will be there, but you cannot see through them. The energy that looks through them will be absent. It will move through a new center. That center is between these two eyes. Already there, complete. Any moment it can function, but it needs energy to function. And the same energy has to be diverted. Secondly, when you are seeing through these eyes, you are seeing through the physical body. Third eye is not really a part of physical body. It is part of the second body which is hidden. The subtle body, sukshma sarir. It has a corresponding spot in the physical body, but it is not part of it. That's why physiology cannot believe that there exists a third eye or anything like it, because your skull can be analyzed, penetrated, x-rayed, and there is no point, no physical thing which can be said the third eye. Third eye is part of the subtle body, sukshma sarir. When you die, your physical body dies, but your sukshma, your subtle body moves with you. It takes another birth. Unless the subtle body dies, you can never be freed from the circle of birth, death, rebirth, redeath. The circle moves on. Third eye belongs to the subtle body. So when the energy is moving through the physical body, you are looking through it. That's why through the physical eyes you cannot look anything else than the physical, than the material. Eyes are physical. Through these eyes you cannot look anything, cannot see anything which is not physical. Only with the third eye functioning you enter a different dimension. You can see things which are invisible to the physical eyes, but they become visible to the subtle eyes. Then, with the third eye functioning, if you look at a person, you look at his soul, at his spirit, not at his body. Just as through physical eyes you look at the body but the soul is not there, you cannot see it. The same happens through the third eye. You look, the body is not there, but one who resides in the body. Remember these two points. The same energy has to move. It has to be taken away from ordinary physical eyes and allowed to move through the third eye. Secondly, the third eye is not part of the physical body. It is part of the subtle body, the second hidden body. Because it is part of the subtle body, the moment you can look through it, you look at the subtle world. You are sitting here. If a ghost is sitting here, you cannot see. But if your third eye is functioning, you will see the ghost. Because subtle existence can be seen only through the subtle eyes. How the third eye is related with this technique of looking? It is deeply related. Really, this technique is to open the third eye. If these two eyes stop completely, become non-moving, static like stones, no movement in these eyes, the energy stops flowing through them. If you stop them, the energy stops flowing through them. The energy flows, that's why they move. The vibration, the movement is because of the energy. If the energy is not moving, your eyes will become just like a dead man's eyes. Stony, dead. Look at a spot, staring at it, without allowing the eyes to move anywhere else, will give a staticness. Suddenly, the energy which was moving through the eyes will not be moving through these eyes. And energy has to move. Energy cannot be static. Eyes can be static, but energy cannot be static. When these eyes are closed for the energy, suddenly the doors are closed and the energy cannot move from these eyes. It tries to find out a new path. And the third eye is just near, just between the two eyebrows, half inch deep, just near. The nearest point, if your energy is released from these eyes, the first thing that can happen is it will move through the third eye. Just as water is flowing and you close one hole, it will find another, the nearest, which can be found with least resistance, it will find it. Automatically, you are not to do anything specifically. You are to do something with these physical eyes, just to stop energy moving through them. And then energy will find its own path, and it will move through the third eye. This movement through the third eye transforms you into a different world. You start seeing things you have never seen. You start feeling things you have never felt. You start smelling things you have never smelled. A new world, a subtle world, is starts functioning. It is already there. The I is there. The world, the fellow world is already there. Both there. But non-related. Once you function in that dimension, many things become apparent to you. For example, if a person is going to die, if your third eye is functioning, you will immediately become aware that he is going to die. No physical analysis, no physical diagnosis can say certainly that he is going to die. At the most, we can talk about probabilities. We can say, perhaps he will die. And the statement will be conditional. If such and such remains the case, he may die. If something can be done, he may not die. Medical diagnosis cannot be yet certain about death. Why? So much development and yet so uncertainty about death. Really, medical science is trying to deduct death, infer death, through physical symptoms. And death is a subtle phenomenon, not physical. It is an invisible phenomenon of a different dimension. But with the third eye functioning, you suddenly feel this man is going to die. How you feel it? Because death has an impact. If you are going to die, then death has its shadow already there. And that shadow can be felt with the third eye any time. Those who have practiced the third eye very deeply, the child is born and they can see his death that very moment. But then the shadow is very subtle. But a person is going to die after 6 months, then anyone whose third eye functions a little can say, 6 months before death comes, the shadow darkens. Really, around you a dark shadow settles down. And that can be felt, but not with these eyes. With third eye, you begin to see auras. A person comes to you, he cannot deceive you. Because whatsoever he says is meaningless unless it corresponds to his aura. He may say that he is a person who never gets angry. But the red aura will show that he is filled with anger. He cannot deceive as far as aura is concerned because he is completely unaware about the aura. Whatsoever he says can be judged through his aura whether it is right or wrong. With the third eye, you start seeing radiations, auras. In the old days, that was how someone was initiated. Unless the aura was right, the master will wait. Because your wish fulfillment is not the question. You want to be initiated, that is not enough. Unless your aura says that you are ready. So for years, the disciple has to wait. Unless the aura was ready, not your desire to be initiated, that is futile. Sometimes, even for lives, one was to wait. For example, Buddha resisted the temptation to initiate women for many years. So much pressure was put upon him. Still he will reject. And the reason? Ultimately he agreed to initiate women. But then he said, now, my religion will not be alive after 500 years. I have compromised. And because you forced me, I initiate Vinan. What was the reason why he will not initiate Vinan? One basic reason. With men, sexual energy can be regulated very easily. A man can become a celibate very easily. With women's body, it is difficult because menses is a regular phenomenon, unconscious, uncontrollable, non-voluntary. Semen ejaculation can be controlled, but menses cannot be controlled. If one tries to control it, then it will have very bad effects on the body. The moment a woman enters her period of menses, her eye changes completely. It becomes sexual, aggressive, depressed. All that is negative surrounds the woman every month. Only because of this, Buddha was not ready. He said it is difficult. And every month, the period moves in a circle periodically. And nothing can be done voluntarily. Something can be done. But it was difficult to do that in Buddha's time. Now it can be done. Mahavir completely denied any possibility of a woman being liberated from woman's body. He said a woman has to be born again to be a man, and only then she can be liberated. So all the effort has to be channelized that a woman should enter a new birth as a man. Why? This problem of ara. If you initiate a woman, every month she will fall down and the whole effort will be lost. There was no evaluation that women or men are equal or not. That is not the question. But for Mahavir, the question was this: how to help? So he found out an easier way to help a woman to be reborn as man. That is easier. That means a woman has to wait for a life. The whole effort has to be directed towards this goal. She should be born in a male body. This appeared to Mahavir easier than to initiate a woman. Because then, every month, she comes down back to the original state. And all effort is lost. But these 2,000 years have done much. Particularly, Tantra has done much. Tantra has found different doors. And only Tantra is the only system in the world which takes no difference between man and woman. Rather, on the contrary, they say a woman can become easily liberated. And the same reason, looked from a different angle. Tantra says, because woman's body is periodically regulated, she can detach herself from her body more easily than man. Because man's mind is more involved in the body. That's why he can regulate. Man's mind is more involved in the body. That's why he can control his sex. Woman's mind is not so involved in the body. Body functions as a automata, different, on a different layer. And the woman cannot do anything about it. It is like an automatic mechanism. It goes on. Tantra says because of this, a woman can detach herself from her body very easily. And if this becomes this detachment, this gap, then there is no problem. Then there is no problem. So a very paradoxical thing. If a woman decides to be celibate and detaches herself from her body, she can maintain her purity more easily than man. Once the detachment is there, then she can forget completely the body. Man can detach very easily, can control very easily, but his mind is more involved in the body. That's why he can control, but then he will have to control every day, continuously. And because feminine sex is passive, it is very easy to relax about it. Man's sex is active, easy to control it, difficult to relax about it. So Tantra has been trying to find out many, many ways. And Tantra is the only system which says there is no difference. And even a feminine structure can be used. So Tantra is the only path which gives women a similar, equal status. Otherwise, every religion, whatsoever they may say, deep down feel that women are inferior. It may be Christianity, it may be Islam, it may be Jainism, it may be Buddhism. Deep down, they feel. And the reason is the diagnosis through the third eye, the aura. And falling of the aura every month at the time of menses. With the third eye, you become capable of seeing things which are there but cannot be seen with ordinary eyes. All the methods about looking affect the third eye, because looking means a certain energy moving from you without towards the world. Blocked, suddenly blocked, the energy will find another path to move. And the third eye is just near. In Tibet, even there were surgical operations for the third eye. Sometimes it happens that your third eye is blocked because you have not used for millennia. It may be blocked. If the third eye is blocked and you stop your eyes, you will feel a certain uneasiness, because the energy is there and no part to move. In Tibet, they devise certain operations to have the passage clear. It can be done. And if it's not done, then many things can happen. Just 2 or 3 days before, one sannyasin was, she is here, she came to me. She said, there is a very hot sensation at the third eye. And not only the sensation, the isin has burnt. As if really someone has burnt it from the outside. The sensation is inside the burning, but the skin has affected it. Complete burn. She was afraid. What has happened? The feeling is pleasant. The warmth is very pleasant and melting. Something is happening. But even the physical body has become affected. As if actual fire has touched. The reason, the third eye is starting functioning. The energy will move in it. It has been cold for lives together. Energy never moved through it. For the first time energy moves, the warmth. For the first time energy moves, the burning sensation. And because the path has to be created and forced, it may become like fire, concentrated energy hammering on the third eye. In India, we have been using sandal powder and other things, ghee and other things, just on the third eye spot. We call it tilak. Just on the third eye spot. To give a certain coolness from the outside. So if warmth comes within and fire moves within, it should not affect the skin outside. Not only skin can be burned by it, sometimes even holes have appeared on the skin. I was reading one of the most penetrating books about one of the very deep mysteries of human existence on earth. And there have been always been proposals that man came from some other star. Because there seems to be no possibility of man suddenly evolving on earth. There seems to be no possibility really how man can evolve from a baboon or chimpanzee. And there exists no link. Because if man evolved from chimpanzee to be man, there must be links. Someone who is between man and chimpanzee. But there is no one. And now there is available much data and discoveries that we have not yet found a single body structure, a skull or anything which can be said that this is a link between chimpanzee and man. Evolution means steps. Suddenly a chimpanzee cannot become a man. Stages must have followed, but there is no proof. So Darwin's theory remains a hypothesis. There are no in-between links. So there have been always fantastic proposals that man must have appeared on the earth suddenly. then farthest back, 10 lakh years back, man's skull had been found. But with our skull, in comparison, there is nothing lacking in it. It is the same skull, with the same brain, with the same structures. We have not evolved really as far as mind structure is concerned. So it seems man suddenly appeared on earth. He must have come from some planet. For example, now we are traveling into space, and if we find some planet worth living, we must populate. And suddenly man will appear there. So I was reading a book about such a proposal. And the man has been finding many things to prove, to help his hypothesis. One thing that I wanted to tell you, in connection with the matter of looking, he has found one skull in Mexico and one in Tibet. Both skulls have holes at the third eye spot. And the holes are such which can only be made by a gun bullet. And the skulls are at least 5 to 10 lakh years old. And if by an arrow the hole is made, it cannot be round. Is so round that it cannot be made by arrow. Only a bullet can make that. So that man tries to prove that bullets existed 10 lakh years before. Otherwise, how this man was killed? But really, that doesn't prove anything about a bullet. Whenever the third eye is blocked completely and the energy moves suddenly, this hole can appear. And the energy is just like a bullet coming from within. Just like bullet. Concentrated fire. It will create a hole. Those two skulls with holes, simply so. Not that those men were killed by bullets, but simply that the third eye phenomenon. Third eye was blocked completely, energy became concentrated. They stopped their eyes completely, energy couldn't move, it became fire, and then it exploded. Just not to move in such an accident in Tibet, they discovered and devised methods to make a hole so that the energy can move easily. So whenever you are trying with looking, remember this. If you feel a burning sensation, don't be afraid. But if you feel that the energy has become such like fire, as if a bullet is there alive and wants to penetrate the skull, stop the matter and come immediately to me. Don't do it first. If you feel as if a bullet is there and wants to penetrate the skull, stop. Open your eyes, move your eyes as much as you can. Immediately the sensation will drop. The energy will have moved through the eyes. And unless I say something to you, don't cross it. Because sometimes it has happened that the skull is broken. Nothing is wrong even if it happens. Even if one dies in it, nothing is wrong because one has achieved something which is beyond death. But just to be safe, stop. Whenever you feel that something wrong can happen, with any method, not only with this, with any method, if you feel something wrong is to them, stop. In India now, many methods are being taught. And many, many seekers suffer unnecessarily. Because those who teach are not even aware of the dangers. And those who follow in a blind maze. They don't know where they are moving, what they are doing. I am talking about these 112 methods specifically because of this. So that you become aware of all the methods, all the possibilities, dangers. And can find out then which will suit you best. And if you proceed in any method, you are fully aware what can happen. And what you have to be aware, and when it happens, how you have to tackle it. Second question. It is observed that the practitioners of psychic sciences, persistent and fearful eyes, explain what this indicates and how to overcome this phenomenon. Those who practice hypnotism, mesmerism, magnetism, or things like this, will have very tense eyes. Obviously, because they are trying to move their energy through the eyes forcibly. They are bringing their total energy near the eyes just to influence, impress, dominate someone. Their eyes will become tense. Because then eyes are flooded with energy, more than they can tolerate. Their eyes will be red, tense. And if you look at them, you will feel a sudden shivering. Their eyes, they are using in a very political way. If they look at you, they are sending their energy to dominate. And through eyes, domination is very easy. It is said about Rasputin, who dominated Russia before Lenin, just through his eyes. He was an ordinary peasant. Uneducated, but with very light eyes, and he came to know how to use them. The moment he will look at you, you forget yourself. And in that moment, any magician can send to you telepathically, and you will follow it. That's how he dominated Tsar and Tsarina, the royal family, and through them the whole Russia. Nothing could be done without his will. You can have those eyes also. It is not difficult. You have just to learn how to give your body energy to the eyes. They become flooded. And whenever you look at someone, your energy starts flowing towards him. It envelopes. envelops the person, penetrates his mind. And in this flurried shock, his thinking stops. And this is not a very rare thing with man. It is all over in animal kingdom. There are many animals who will just look their prey. And if the prey looks at them, he is done for. Then the prey's eyes become fixed. He cannot move. He cannot escape. Hunters know it well. And hunters develop very powerful eyes because they are always in search, in darkness, of animals. Their eyes become powerful. Thieves, hunters, by and by gather more energy in their eyes automatically because of their work. So suddenly a lion comes before a hunter, and he is without weapons and he cannot do. This has been done always. He can stare in the eyes of the lion. And now it will depend whether he has more magnetic eyes or the lion. If the lion is less magnetic and the hunter can bring his total energy, and it is easy, he can bring. Because when death is there, you can do anything. Death is there, the hunter can put his total energy at stake. If the hunter can look directly into the eyes of the lion and forget everything and just look, just becomes a look, the whole energy moves from his eyes, the lion will escape, will be trembling with fear. Through eyes, you can flood your whole energy. But when you do that, your eyes will be tense. You will not be able to sleep. You will not be able to relax. So all those who are trying to dominate others will be restless. If you look at their face, their eyes will be alive, but their face will be dead. Look at a hypnotist. His eyes will be very much alive, but his face will be dead. Because eyes are sucking whole energy, and nothing is left anywhere. Don't do this, because it is useless to dominate anyone. The only thing useful is to dominate yourself. It is useless wasting your energy. Nothing is achieved through it. Just an egoist feeling that you can dominate. So this is evil and a black art. That is the difference between black magic and white magic. Black magic means using your energy, wasting it in dominating others. White magic means the same methods, but using your energies in dominating your own life, becoming a master of yourself. And remember, sometimes similarities happen. If a Buddha moves amidst you, you will be dominated by him, though he is not dominating you. He is not trying to dominate you. But you will be dominated because he is a master of himself. And he is such a master that all around him, whosoever moves, will become a slave. But no conscious effort is on his part. Rather, on the contrary, he will continuously insist, be your masters. Remember, and this insistence is because of this knowledge. Buddha knows whosoever found him will become a slave. He is not doing anything. He is not trying to dominate anyone. But he knows this will happen. His last dying words are, "Be a lamp unto yourself." He is dying in Ananda Asins just a day before. That when you will be no more, what we shall do? So he says, "It is good that I shall be no more. Then you can be your own masters. Be a lamp unto yourself. Forget me. It is good. Because when I am no more, you will be freed from my domination." Those who try to dominate others, they will try in every way to make a slave of you. That is evil, satanic. Those who become their own masters, they will help you to become masters. And they will try in every way to cut their influence. That can be done in many ways. For example, I will tell it, a very recent incident. Ospinsky, the chief disciple of Gurdjieff, was working with him for 10 years. It was very difficult to work with Gurdjieff because he was doing two things simultaneously. He was a man of infinite magnetism. Whosoever will come around him will be pulled. With such people, either you are pulled or you become afraid and go against them. But you cannot remain indifferent, either far or against. You cannot be indifferent to such people. And that going against is just a safety measure. If you come around a person who is magnetic, either you will become a slave to him, or just to protect yourself, you will become an enemy. Because that is the protection. Ostensky came to him, stayed with him, worked with him, and there was no theoretical knowledge to be imparted. He was a man of action. He will give techniques and one has to work. Then Ostensky achieved a certain crystallization. He became an integrated man. He transformed. He was not fully enlightened yet, but he was not fast asleep as we are. He was in between, just on the verge. When you feel that the morning is near, when you start listening to the noises which indicate morning is near, you are asleep, but not totally asleep. The sleep is just on the verge to go. You are not yet awake. You may again fall into sleep. Just on the surface, just near awakening. And when Ostensky was just near awakening, he was thinking that now Gurdjieff will help him more. Because this is the moment. But suddenly Gurdjieff started behaving in such a strange way that Ostensky had to leave. He started in such a strange ways with him, such absurd things, contradictory. on the surface nonsense that Ouspensky had to leave him. On his own account, Gurdjieff never said him to leave. On his own account, he left him, went against him, said that he has gone mad. He started teaching and will always say, I am teaching according to Gurdjieff, my teacher. But now he is mad. So he will say, the early Gurdjieff. He will not talk about the later Gurdjieff. But the basic reason why Gurdjieff did it is deep compassion. That was the moment when Ouspensky must be left alone. Otherwise, he will become a constant debate. The moment has come when he must be thrown away. And in such a way that he never becomes aware that he has been thrown consciously. Such persons like Buddha or Gurdjieff, they will affect you without their conscious effort, and you will be pulled towards them. But they will try in every way that you are not pulled in that way. You are not attracted hypnotically. You are not dominated by them. And they will help to make you masters on your own feet. Those who are trying to dominate others, their eyes will be tense, evilness. You will not feel in their eyes innocence. You will not feel in their eyes purity. You will feel attraction, but the attraction will be like alcohol. You will feel a magnetic pull, but the pull will not be to free you, but to enslave you. Remember, never use any energy to dominate anyone. Because of this, Buddha, Mahavir, Jesus, they made it a point and they went on hammering that the moment you enter a spiritual search, be filled with love for even for your enemy. Because if you are filled with love, then you will not be attracted to the inner violence which wants to dominate. Only love can become an antidote. Otherwise, when energy comes to you and you are overfilled with it, you will start dominating. This happens every day. I have come across many, many people. I will start them helping. They will grow a little, and the moment they feel a certain energy is coming to them, they will start dominating others. They will try now to use it. Remember never to use spiritual energy to dominate. You are wasting your efforts. Sooner or later, you will be empty again. And you will fall down suddenly. And this is sheer wastage. But very difficult to control it. Because the moment you become aware that now you can do certain things, if you touch someone and he was ill and he becomes okay, how can you resist now not to touch others? How can you resist now? If you cannot resist, you will waste. Something has happened soon. You will throw it unnecessarily. And really, mind is so cunning that you may be thinking that you are helping others by healing. That may be just a cunning trick of the mind. Because you have no love, how can you be so concerned with others' diseases, their illnesses, their health? You are not concerned. Really, now, this is a power. If you can heal, you can dominate them. You will say that I am just helping them. But even in your health, you are simply trying to dominate them. Your ego will be fulfilled. This will become a fruit for your ego. So all the old treatises, beware. They say beware. When the energy comes to you, you are at a dangerous point. You can waste it. You can throw it. When you feel any energy, make it a secret. Don't allow anyone to know about it. Jesus says, if your right hand is doing something, don't allow the left hand to know about it. In Sufi mystic tradition, they say, when energy starts coming, even don't pray before others. Don't go to the mosque before others. Why? When the energy comes and someone is praying, and there are many persons present, they will feel it immediately that something is happening. So Sufis say then, do your prayers deep in the night, in the midnight, when everyone is asleep and no one can be aware what is happening to you. Don't tell anyone what is happening. But our mind is just a chattering box. If something happens, immediately you will go and spread the good news that something has happened to you. You have wasted it. And if people are impressed, then all that you have gained is their good opinion and nothing else. And this is not a good bargain. Wait. A moment will come, your energy accumulated, more accumulated, will come to a point where it becomes integrated, transformed. Then things will happen around you without your doing anything. And only then you can help others to be their masters when you are your own master. I remember one Sufi mystic, Junaid. One day, I came to him and he said, Junaid, master, great master, I have come to know your inner secret. People say you have got a golden secret and you have not told it to anyone up till now. I will do anything you will say, but tell me the secret. Junaid said, I have been taking it, hiding it for 30 years. So how much time you can wait? You will have to go through a preparation. 30 years secret, I will tell you. But how much time you will keep patience? The man became afraid, scared. He said, how much? Junaid said, at least 30 years. It is not too much. I'm not asking too much. The man said, 30 years? He said, I will think over it. Junaid said, then if you come back again, I will not be ready to give it you in 30 years. Remember, if you just now decide, then okay. Otherwise, again I will also have to think. So the man agreed. It is said he remained for 30 years with Junet. Then the last day came, and he came and he asked Junet, now communicate your secret. Junet said, I will give it to you on one condition, that you will have to keep it a secret. You are not to tell to anyone. This secret must die with you unknown. So the man says, why? You wasted my whole life. 30 years waiting for the secret just to tell others, and now the condition. Then what is the use of knowing it if I cannot tell it to others? If you make this condition, then please don't tell it to me, otherwise it will become a haunting. I know something and I cannot tell to others. So be kind enough and don't tell it to me. You have wasted my 30 years. A little life has left. So let me live it relaxedly. This will be too much. Knowing something without telling to others. Whatsoever you gain through any spiritual method, let it remain a secret. Don't go on spreading. Don't try to use it in any way. Let it remain unused, pure. Only then it will be used for inner transformation. If you use outwardly, it is wasted. Third question. You mentioned that the rapid eye movements indicate mental processes, and that if eye movements are stopped, the mental process will also stop. But this physiological control on the mental processes by stopping eye movements seems to create psychic tensions, such as it happens when we keep our eyes closed with an eye bandage for a long time. Firstly, your mind and your body are not two things. Remember that always, as far as Tantra is concerned. Don't say physiological process and mental process. They are not two. Just two parts of one whole. Whatsoever you do physiologically affects the mind. Whatsoever you do psychologically affects the body. They are not two. They are one. They are just like body. You can take as a solid state of the same energy, mind as the liquid state of the same energy. The same energy. So whatsoever you are doing physiologically, don't think that this is just physiological, how it is going to help any transformation in the mind. If you take alcohol, what happens to your mind? Alcohol is taken in the body, not in the mind. What happens to the mind? If you take LSD, it goes into the body, not in the mind. What happens to the mind? Or if you go on a fast, fasting is done by the body, what happens to the mind? From the other end, if you think sexual thoughts, what happens to your body? The body is affected immediately. You think in the mind of a sex object and your body starts getting ready. There was a theory by William James. He said, in the first part of this century, it apparently looked very absurd, but in a sense it is right. He and another scientist, Lange, they proposed a theory which is known as James-Lange theory. Ordinarily we say, you are afraid, that's why you escape and run away. You are angry, that's why your eyes get red and you start beating your enemy. But James and Lange proposed quite the contrary. They said, because you run away, that's why you feel fear. And because your eyes get red and you start beating your enemy, you feel anger. Just the opposite. And they said, this is not so. Then we want to see even one instance of anger when eyes are not red and your body is not affected and you are simply angry. Don't allow your body to be affected and simply be angry. Then you will know that you cannot be angry. In Japan, they teach their children a very simple method of controlling anger. They say, whenever you feel angry, don't do anything with the anger, just start taking deep breaths. Try it, and you cannot get angry. Why? Just taking deep breaths, why you can't get angry? It becomes impossible to get angry. Two reasons. When you start taking deep breaths, anger needs a particular rhythm of breathing. Without that rhythm, anger is not possible. A particular rhythm in breathing, or chaos in breathing, is needed for anger to be. If you start taking deep breaths, impossible for the anger to come up. Constantly you are taking breaths, then the anger cannot express itself. It needs a different breathing which should be allowed. You need not do it, anger will do it itself. With a deep breathing you cannot be angry. And secondly, your mind shifts. When you feel angry, you start to take deep breaths. Your mind is shifted from anger to breathing. Body is not in a state to be angry, and mind has shifted its concentration towards something else. Difficult to be angry. That's why Japanese are the most controlled people on earth. Most controlled people on earth. Just a training from the childhood. It is difficult anywhere else to find such an incident. Japan, it happens even today. It is becoming less and less because Japan is becoming less and less Japan. It is becoming more and more westernized. And the traditional methods and ways are lost. But it was happening and it still happens today. One of my friends was there in Kyoto and he wrote me a letter that I have seen such a beautiful phenomena today that I want to write to you, and when I will come back I will want to understand how is it possible. One man was struck by a car. He fell down, he stood up, thanked the driver and went away. Thank the driver. In Japan, it is not difficult. He must have taken few deep breaths. And then it is possible. You are transformed into a different attitude. And you can thank even a person who was just going to kill you. Ah, he has already killed you. Physiological processes and psychological processes are not two things. They're one. And you can start from any to affect and change the other. Tantra believes deeply in body. And any science will do that. Only philosophy is vague, airy, verbal. They start from something else. Otherwise, any scientific approach is bound to start from the body. Because that is in your reach. If I talk of something which is beyond your reach, you may listen it. You may gather it in your memory. You may talk about it. But nothing happens. You remain the same. Your information is increased, but not your being. Your knowledge goes on increasing, but your being remains the same poor, mediocre being. Nothing happens to it. Remember, body is what is in your reach. Just now you can do something with it. And change your mind through the body. By and by, you will become a master of the body. And then you will become a master of the mind. And when you become master of the mind, then change the mind by and by, and you will be moving beyond it. Body change, you move beyond body. Mind change, you move beyond mind. And always do something which you can do. For example, you may not be capable of becoming a master of anger like a Buddha just now. How you can be? But you can change anything. And then you can feel the subtle effect, the change. Do it. You feel filled with passion, sexual passion. Take few deep breaths and see the effect. The passion has dispersed. Aldous Huxley's wife, Lara Huxley, has written a beautiful book. Just simple devices about doing certain things. You feel angry, Lara Huxley says, just close your fists. You can close in such a way, in your pockets, no one will be able to see. Or just under your desk, or table, no one will be able to see. The person is sitting just beyond, in front of you. You feel angry, just close your fists, go on closing as much as you can, and then suddenly relax and feel the difference. The anger has gone. Or if it has not gone, do it again. It will go in doing it twice. What happens? If you close your fists and go on closing and tensing, the energy that was going to become anger moves into the fists. And it is very easy to move into the fist, because when you are angry, how do you feel? You want to beat someone with your fist. The energy is there. Use it. If you can use it, it is dispersed. your face will become relaxed. And the other person will not even be able to know that you were angry. Nothing has happened to him. And once you know these things, you become more aware that energy can be transformed, can be diverted, can be checked, can be released, can be prevented from release, can be used in a different way. If you can use your energy, you become masters. Then one day you may not use it at all. You may preserve it. This exercise is not good for a Buddha to clench the fists. This is not good for a Buddha because this is wasting. But this is good for you. At least the other is saved from you. Enough. And a vicious circle is saved. If you get angry, he will get angry. And there is no end to it. And it may disturb your whole night. And it may continue as a hangover for a week. And then, because of this hangover, you may have done many things you never intended to. Don't say that this is just physiological. You are physiological, so what can be done? You are a physique. You cannot deny that fact. Use it. No need of denying it. Secondly, if you close your eyes, sometimes you may feel a certain tension gathering there, or uneasiness. That is for some reasons. One, when you close your eyes, don't get tense about it. Let them be relaxed. You can close your eyes forcibly, then you will get tense. Then your eyes will get tired, and inside you will feel uneasiness. Relaxedly, relax the face, relax the eyes, and let them be closed. I say let them be closed, don't close them. Relax, feel relaxed, drop eyelids and let the eyes be closed. Don't force them. If you force them, that's not good. And if you cannot feel, what is the difference? Do it. First, force them to close. Let your whole face become tense, strained. And then close your eyes forcibly. For a few moments, remain strained. Then relax. Then close again your eyes relaxedly. Then the difference. It is a difference to be felt. And then always do relaxedly. Don't do anything with force. That will tire you. Secondly, when the eyes are closed and your face is relaxed, look as if everything has become dark, a deep darkness around you. Imagine it. You are amidst darkness, deep, velvety darkness, surrounded in it, in a deep, dark night. Go on feeling this darkness. That will help for your eyes to stop movements. Nothing to be seen, so eyes will stop. Imagine darkness. You can do it in a dark room. Open your eyes, look at the darkness, then close and feel the darkness. Again open the eyes, feel the darkness, close your eyes, feel it inside. Darkness is deeply relaxing. darkness outside and inside you dead. Dark and death, both are related. That's why we paint death as black, dark, all over the world. Death is painted as black. And people fear darkness. Doing this method, feel darkness, love darkness, and feel inside you are going to die. Darkness all around you are dying. Eyes will stop. You will feel they cannot move, they have stopped. In that stopping, suddenly the energy will go up and start hammering the third eye. When it starts hammering, you will hear it. You will feel it. A warmth will come. A fire will flow. A liquid fire. Trying to find out a new path. Don't be afraid. Help it. Cooperate with it. Let it move. Become it. And when the third eye opens for the first time, the darkness will disappear. And there will be light. Light without source. You have seen light, but always with source. Either it comes from the sun, or from the star, or from the moon, or from the lamp. Some source is there. When your energy moves through the third eye, you will come to know a light without source. No source from where it coming. It is simply there, not coming from anywhere. That's why Upanishads say, God is not like sun or like a flame. It is sourceless light. No source, nowhere. Simply light is there. Just as if in the morning it happens. The sun has not arisen. The night has disappeared. In between, the dawn, the pre-dawn, or in the evening, the sun has set and the night has not yet come. Just in between, the margin. That's why Hindus have chosen Sandhya as a proper time for meditation. Sandhya means the in-between. Neither night nor day. Just the line that divides. Why? Just as a symbol. The light is there but without source. The same will happen inside. Light will be there without source. Wait for it. Don't imagine it. A last thing to be remembered. You can imagine anything. So it is dangerous to tell you many things. You can imagine them. You will close the eyes and you will feel and imagine, now the third eye has opened, are opening. And you can imagine a light also. Don't imagine. Resist imagination. Close your eyes. Wait. Whatsoever comes, feel it, cooperate. But wait. Don't jump ahead. Otherwise nothing will happen. He will be having a dream. A beautiful spiritual dream. But nothing. And people go on coming to me. They say, we have seen this and we have seen that. And they have imagined. Because if really they have seen, they will be transformed. But they are not transformed. They are the same person. Just now, a spiritual pride is added. They have some dreams. Beautiful spiritual dreams. Someone is seeing Krishna playing on his flute. Someone is seeing light. Someone is seeing Kundalini arising. They go on seeing things and they remain the same, mediocre, stupid, dull. Nothing has happened to them, and they go on relating, this is happening, that is happening. They remain same angry, same sad, same childless. Nothing changes. If you really see the light which is there, waiting for you to be seen through the third eye, you will be a different man. And you need not tell anyone. People will come to know you are a different man. You cannot even hide it. It will be felt. Wherever you will move, they will feel it. Something has happened to this man. So don't imagine. Wait. Things take their own course. You do the technique and then wait. Don't jump ahead. Enough for today.